So today we want to continue, and we're going to close off the model prayer today. I think that what I'm going to say today, I know that what I'm going to say today is going to really bless you and in understanding some things that are pretty tough to understand in a world where there's so much sin around us, so much temptation. I mean, you could probably think of friends that you know that are good people that have fallen to temptation, have turned a different direction from where they were. People that have given up on God. But I'm going to say God doesn't give up on you. The people that just given up on God. God's mercy endures forever. Jesus Christ gave his life on Calvary's cross that we would be saved, rinsed of our sins, born again, knowing that his love will cover us. I was reading in the Song of Solomon's last night, just that one verse, that his banner over me is love. It just made me stop and think for a moment. I wrote a small commentary on that book in the Old Testament. And when I wrote it back in 1979, when I read it again last night, it just made me realize how much love God has for us, how much he really does care for us. So the Lord's Prayer is very clear. It says, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Lead us not into temptation is quite a novel thing to say, because nobody really wants to be led into temptation. But I'm here to tell you that God does not lead you into temptation. You know, some people believe that God will lead you into temptation to test you. That's not true. It's not, he doesn't want to do that. Our prayer should be, "Please, Lord, do not let us succumb to temptation. Don't let us fall to temptation." Temptation is all around us. If you, for somehow, were caught up in the world in some way with addictions, caught up in some way in involved in something that was sinful, and that sin still is around. Simply put, if you're an alcoholic, you don't want to go into a bar. It's tempting. Sometimes when you're going through a struggle, and bear with me, I'm going to take you someplace in a minute, that when you're going through a struggle, sometimes you get weak in your character and in your personality. You begin to start to wonder, what if I just took a day off from this Christianity and just hung out with my old friends for a while? And what would I do? How would I handle this? And what would I say? And what should I go with? Well, we have to understand that that should not be something that we would respond to. Would that thought come through a person's mind? Yes. And you can't be like an old comedian and an actor that once said this by the name of Flip Wilson, "The devil made me do it." We have to be strong through prayer, through our relationship, through a support system, not to fall to the temptation that the world brings to your doorstep or even comes into your home through television. Or hanging out with the friends at the park or something like that. It's something that we have to understand that what we also should pray is, Lord, don't abandon us to temptation, in other words. And he doesn't. He doesn't tempt you. He knows how weak the human being is. How weak we are towards things. You know, people don't come into church. I want you to know this. Here's a little advertisement for all of you. People do not come into church and say, I am an addict. You're certainly, your pastor's not going to do that. Your pastors will not do that. And certainly, like somebody's going to come into church that's wanting to be helped, and there, or they think that everybody thinks they're okay, they're not going to stand and say, I am an addict. I am strung out on porn. Just want everybody to know before we start worship, I'm an addict, I'm strung out in porn, I did heroin this morning, and I'm feeling good. Would you want to join me in my addiction after service? That's not going to happen. Now, there's a percentage that may happen, and that would blow everybody out, and everybody would run to that person and pray for them and, you know, do everything they possibly could to help them. But that's not going to happen. In an AA meeting, people go up and they say, hi, my name is this, and I am an alcoholic. In an NA meeting, they say, my name is this, and I am an addict. In a meeting for pornography, they say, my name is this, and I am addicted to pornography. You see, what I'm trying to say today in a very casual, and I know I don't sound casual right now, but casual way is that people want to hide their sin. Because they're embarrassed about it. Their family is being destroyed by it. And those things happen in our life. And so basically, we do, of course, periodically succumb to temptation. It does happen. No one by the sound of my voice has never not succumbed to some sort of temptation in their life. It's been there. You know, it doesn't have to be addictions. It could be gossip. Some of you looked at each other and said, hey, I didn't know he was going to get to me today. But anyhow, but never because we have no alternative. No alternative. We have an alternative. And I want you to turn your Bibles with me now over to 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 13. Very, very well-known scripture. Very well-known scripture. Chapter 10, verse 13. And I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Version first. And then we will go and do something with the New King James Version. It says there right now, and please get that up on the screen. Thank you. No temptation, regardless of its source. This is the Amplified Version. Regardless of its source, has overtaken or enticed you that is not common to human experience. So in other words, you're not the first person in the line. Nor is any temptation unusual or beyond human resistance. You can resist temptation. So what the Lord's Prayer, the motto prayer, is saying, don't let us succumb to this temptation. Help us get through this temptation. This temptation is getting to me. But God is faithful to His word. He is compassionate and trustworthy, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability to resist. So in other words, something that's on you, you're going to have the ability to resist it. But along with the temptation, He has in the past and is now and will always provide the way out as well. So that you will be able to endure without yielding and will overcome temptation with joy. Now let's look at that. That's very important how we look at that. There's no temptation regardless of its source. So you can't just blame the source. I'm going to get into this because of the source. You have to understand that God is, the end of this scripture is, God has made a way of escape. And what is the way of escape? God is the way of escape. Right. Trust in God and faith in God and the knowledge of His word and the depth of His word and the understanding of His word and realizing that you are surrounded by His shield and that He is the lifter of your head. That He has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That He has rebuked the enemy from the cross. He rose on the third day to defeat death. Oh, sin, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Are you with me? Is anybody here this morning? Yeah. Is that we have a way out of all that's going on in our life, every bit of it that's temptation. And you know what humans love to do? I'm going to go on everybody here now. You know what humans love to do? They love to lie. Somehow or another, they'll tell a lie to get out of something so they can keep going with what they were doing. Let me tell you, lying can be a temptation. And what we have to do is, it's not God causing us to be tempted. It's just that we're looking to get out of what we're about to do, and we're going to lie our way about it. We have to understand that He has made a way. He is compassionate. He is real. He's a lover of mankind. He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for our sins, to destroy temptation, to destroy the things that can hurt us. But we have to have responsibility in our own life to say, I will not succumb to this. Amen. I will not. I will not do this. I'm not going to succumb to temptation. Lord, help me not to succumb to this. Give me strength. And here in 1 Corinthians in 10 and 13, it is telling us that God has made that way. The door is wide open. Wide open to walk away from temptation into His everlasting protective arms. You know, the devil can't deal with you when you're standing there with God. What did Jesus do? He come out of the desert. I love this in Luke. He comes out of the desert. He just fasted 40 days in the heat in the arid desert. Without food. He did drink water. Without food. He comes out of there. He just got baptized with the Holy Ghost before He entered into the desert. There's a message in there, and I'm not going to preach that today. But he got baptized with the Holy Ghost, and He goes into the desert. He comes out of the desert, and the first person that meet Him is not a crowd of people going, yay, your first fast, great job. There wasn't a stage for Him to walk up on and say, you know, I did my first 40 today. just got through and I'm feeling pretty good. He's not up there to say, you know what, some of you don't fast at all. You need to do what I just did. He didn't do all that. He came out of there, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, who was weak from fasting. And he meets the devil. The devil talks to him. Now, I want you to understand, can you get this for a minute? Somebody say, I'm going to grab this. Jesus created Lucifer. Lucifer was not always a bad person, a bad angel. He was the worship leader in heaven. He led worship. Jesus created him, and now Jesus, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, the creator of heaven and earth, and all that is connected to that life, and that just doesn't even have breath. He created. And Lucifer now says to him, turn this rock into bread. And he defeats him by the word. He offers him the world. Because when he fell from heaven, are you with me? When he fell from heaven with all the other devils and angels, I should say, that turned into devils on their way down, literally, he became and he was given the earth to walk upon. And he said, I don't know. You're not going to tempt the Lord your God. You're not going to do it. And we're the children of God. So when he comes to you or I, we can say to him, you're not going to tempt me, because what you're asking me to do is against the word of God. The word of God. That which we believe in. Amen. That which we stand upon. That which we preach. And that which we know is true and holy and good and powerful and alive. And the most real thing we have is the word. We want to keep hold of this. We want to keep it. What did the psalmist say? I have hid thy word in mine heart that I may not sin against thee. I think some people, please don't take me wrong in this next statement, but it is real. Some people hide the word in their house somewhere so nobody will see it. What we need to do is we need to get the word in us so we can be strengthened to be overcomers towards temptation. Because when you fall, you fall. But let me tell you what God does. He forgives you when you come back to him and say, I messed up. I asked for you to forgive me. And the enemy's right there too, saying, ha ha, you'll not get forgiven. But oh, let me tell you about the mercies of God today, if I could. Let me tell you about the love of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about the redeeming blood of the Lamb. Let me tell you about the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about the baptism of the Holy Ghost sent by the Lord, who will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you about the one that has given you the power to be an overcomer by his love. And let me tell you about the one who will make you more than a conqueror. Amen. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of glory, the Lord of life. Amen. We have life because of who he is. Life, not death. We have conquered death. We'll never die. Do you know that? You may leave this old tent. And every day I watch it get a little older. skin get a little bit more wrinkler. And I wonder how many days, years does this old body have left? But I never wonder how many days or years does this person inside this tent have? Because I can't number the days of eternity. God is always there for us. He's not like human beings. We are not always there for one another. How many will say, don't raise your hand and don't do that. But how many will say in their heart, their mind, there have been days when I just wanted someone there for me and I couldn't find anybody to be there for me. But God, amen, who is rich in mercy, who forgives all sin, is all present all the time. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. Amen. Jesus is our Savior. Amen. He has defeated all temptation. Praise God. I love that because, you see, when we give in to temptation, there's no one else to blame but ourselves. It's the truth. Now, you can be somebody, you know, addictions and alcoholism and porn and all the others, those are addictions. Those are real. Those are ugly. Those are bad. Those are like on television.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, I can't believe what's on television. I told my wife the other day, David Wilkerson was right when he wrote his book years and years ago, Throw Your TVs Away. Because for what's on TV today is like, are you kidding me? They're doing that on TV? I'm not going to say that, what that is. They're doing that on TV? I mean, I'm telling you, I watch TV. Here's the TV. Okay, I watch TV half the time like this. Is it over yet? And what kids see at prime time? Come on now, someone shout with me. Don't look at me like I feel like I really do feel like I'm in a Baptist church right now. Let me tell you, someone shout. You know what I'm saying is true. You don't want your kids to see that stuff. Somebody said to me, oh, Pastor, you got to watch the Game of Thrones. So I thought, okay. So I watched the first two episodes, and then the third episodes, I went, O-M-G. And I deleted it off my TV. Somebody said, oh, you got to watch Sons of Anarchy. You know, I know you had that lifestyle growing up. So I started watching Sons of Anarchy, and I ended up going, O-M-G. And I got friends of mine who still are watching that stuff that are in the ministry preaching today in churches. And I'm going, O-M-G. We're watching murder, rape. Can I say it? Open intercourse on television. Children being manipulated and lied to and used. And here's what we're supposed to do. I'm trying to stay on camera here. But here's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to sit down and be entertained by this. That's what the lie of the devil is. It's okay. You're here alone. Your wife's already gone to bed. This isn't being recorded. Your children are in bed. Hey, honey, come here. Let's watch this. Woohoo! No. No. So what used to be taboo is now on TV. What used to be somewhere out there on some channel called the Playboy Channel, I guess it's called, whatever. It's now on major networks. So what I'm trying to say is that we've got to get a grip on our walk with God. What I'm saying is this, let's not take Jesus into our stuff. Jesus delivered us out of our stuff. There's children in the room, so I'm not going to go any further because I got other stuff I could say here to convict the daylights out of you. But God saved us. And not only temptation, the word says, and deliver us from evil. He wants us to, he understands we want to be delivered from the evil one. We have to do that. But the Bible says in James 1, 2 through 4, God tests us in order to prove us and to bring us to maturity. Such tests should not be feared, nor should we pray for God to withhold them. Can I say something? Yeah. When I was in school, as a boy, when I was not in school mentally, but I was present in school, when I went to high school, when I went to Pentecostal Theological Seminary for a while, working on a master's, sometimes I just didn't want to be there. So what I'm saying to you, there are times in your life where God brings stuff into your life and you're saying, I don't want to be here. Not that education is wrong. But I'm telling you how what we go through sometimes when the enemy comes at us and there's a test in our life. We don't want to be through that test. We want out. But God uses that to bring us to maturity. Bring us to a place that we can be okay. Let me read it to you. James 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let your patience have its perfect worth, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. So don't succumb to temptation and enjoy the ride of the test the best you can. Because he's just trying to do that to bring us into maturity. Because God sees your life down the road. He sees who you're becoming because he has designed you to become that. Don't run from your destiny, in other words. Don't be turning from God saying, I can't handle this Christian stuff. I can't handle this anymore. I don't want to be part of this anymore. I just want to get away. I'm going to get my own life together. And I love you, God. Don't you worry about that. I love you. Oh, yes, I do. But I'm not going to walk down this road. Don't turn from your destiny. Let me tell you something. Being a pastor is not easy. Carrying the burdens in prayer by all means is not easy. I just posted that last night. It's not easy to be a person of prayer and to carry burdens. Oh, it's easy to pray, but when you become a person of prayer, you start to carry the burdens of people that in your heart when you're praying for them, and it's not easy. But you don't want to change that for the world. I'm back into the Baptist church again. I slipped back in. Church, don't lose your shout. Don't lose your praise. Don't lose your amen. I don't need to be encouraged to preach. But what I'm saying to you is I just want to see you happy.
I want you to understand, as you may be going through a test right now, don't give up on God, because he hasn't given up on you. Don't turn from your destiny. Don't all of a sudden go a different direction. Let me tell you, 1 Peter 1:7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God's just burning some stuff out of you. Burning it out. Because some of the stuff that we collected walking in this life is not what God wants in your destiny. He doesn't want it for your tomorrow. He doesn't want you to carry that stuff, because he needs you ready, sharp, focused on what he's called you to do. Now, I develop ministers. I want you to know that. I've done it ever since I came into the church. I develop ministers. I've got ministers that are planted all over California and all over the nation that are pastoring or in churches helping. Let me tell you something. Developing is important. But no one develops as good as God. Amen. God develops me all the time. Sometimes I just say, ouch. Sometimes I want to feel brave and say, bring it on. Sometimes I just want to run. But I make sure when I run towards God. This is a prayer I pray, and I'm closing. I hope I've helped you. This is a prayer that I pray all the time. Please listen to this prayer. It's not long. It's very precise. God, no matter what I'm going through, no matter how tough it is today, no matter how many tears I've shed, no matter how much pain I'm feeling, no matter how down I am on myself, I'll never stop serving you. Did you hear me, devil? I will never stop serving my Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. No matter what, I will serve my God. You've got to hang on. For what he's got for you, church, is awesome. It's beautiful. People may not even understand you when you say, this is what God's got for me. Don't worry about them. Worry about your structure, your ability to be strong, in other words, in the battlefield to get to where God is bringing you. When the devil was through that day, after Jesus rebuked him 3 times with the word of God, the Bible says, and he left him for a time. He came back. Left him for a time. Sometimes the devil just leaves you alone for a time. Sometimes we get a little sassy with that. But remember the end of this prayer. For yours, not mine. Please hear this. For yours is the kingdom. It's your kingdom. I'm so honored to be part of it. It's your kingdom. I'm just honored to say your name. Abba. It's your kingdom. It's your power. Without God, we are powerless. Without the Lord, we are unable to do what we're asked to do. Without the Lord, a preacher can't preach. A teacher can't teach. The gifts of the Spirit aren't real. The word of wisdom isn't God's wisdom. The word of knowledge didn't come from the Lord. That isn't the tongue that God gave that person. That's a babble that he's making or she's making up. That's not the interpretation that God had for that tongue. I feel like preaching. I know I got to stop, but I feel like preaching right now. I haven't even begun to preach, I feel like. I just feel like we need to understand that the power of God is within you and it's in this house. You take it to work with you. You take it home with you. It lives within you. It designates you. It has designed you and is determined to get you to your destiny. For without his power, you'll not get there. You'll not be able to walk that path. You'll not be able to strain through that press as you press to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It gives you the opportunity to forget those things which are behind and press on. That word press in the Greek doesn't mean this little shove. You are pressing in prayer. You are pressing in praise. You are pressing in purpose. And you are pressing in perspective. You are pressing because you're persistent. But you can't do these things without him. For thine is the kingdom. That which we look for, that which we hope for, that's what we dream for. When the kingdom of God finally comes, we will be part of it. And every battle will be worth it. Oh, for these light afflictions that I go through right now cannot be compared to the glory that I shall receive one day. Yeah. Kingdom and the power. In the glory. We haven't tasted the glory. He's allowed us to be part, a little part of the kingdom that Jesus showed us. The healings and the gifts of the Spirit. The understanding, the revelation of who God is. But that's not the kingdom in its fullness. That will come when the kingdom of God comes and overtakes the kingdom of heaven. And all of us will, with Jesus, present ourselves before the God of our creation and worship him for eternity. That power is what keeps us going. Gives us the power in the name of Jesus. That name has power. Use it. That name says to the enemy, I am praying in the name of Jesus. And that devil has got to learn, has got to understand, and has got to go.
That's right.
My wife and I have been under a huge attack. Is it all right if I... A huge attack. One like we haven't felt in years. I haven't shared it because I am a battler on my knees, but this was a terrible attack. Everywhere I turned, it was dark and black. We're dreaming dreams of uncanny situations. And we looked at each other the other day and we said, let's pray together right now, which we do. But we need to rebuke this devil that's attacking us. And we went around our house and we did something we've done for years. And we thought we're going to do it again right now. And we took oil and we anointed our house with oil. And we put crosses over every doorway, over every entrance. And we demanded, not just invited, we demanded the devil to get out of our home. Get off our property.
to leave in the powerful name, the known name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, the Savior. Get out! And peace rinsed over our home. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace that gathers us into the bosom of God. Peace that allows us to feel His everlasting arms wrapping around us. Peace that allows us to feel His breath upon our neck, knowing that He's drawn us close to His bosom and He is breathing love upon us and protection. That power, that name. The devil can't stand you and I as long as we stay on our straight and narrow path towards what God has called us to do. Yes, people may not understand you, but that's all right. I have something to tell you, and I'm almost done. I'm trying. I really am trying. But all you should care about is what God thinks about you. You know why they don't understand you? Because it's not their dream. It's not their destiny. And don't let the devil confuse your dream with the dream that he wants you to have. And lastly, that glory that enters in worship and praise. Have you ever felt that? I have. That glory that's like heaviness into a room when you're worshiping and praising, and your hands are up and you feel like you're in a cloud of God's presence. Preaching a revival in my closing story. In San Jose, California, at our East Ridge Church of God, packed house, probably 200 people there that night, and I'm preaching a revival there in the 80s. God was using me. He took over the message like He's done now, and He did at the beginning, of course, but He's just got this thing stirred up. He's pouring a little bit more salad dressing on the salad, by the way. And I looked, there was no windows in this church. Back door this way, very nice church. And I looked up and everybody was standing, and it was the altar call, and I saw the doors move a little bit. I thought somebody's trying to get in. But the ushers didn't stand. Then all of a sudden I saw with my own eyes God's glory enter into the room, and people begin to just wave and go back and forth uncontrollably and falling out in the Spirit. It was moving through the crowd all the way up to the altar, and the altars were packed with people. Because God's glory came into the building, because He witnessed their praise and their worship. He heard what was being spoken, and He entered in to bless the people with His glory. I don't know how many got saved that night or healed. But you know, when it comes in like that, may I say this? It don't matter who is who. It doesn't matter if you're in the who's who's of America. It doesn't matter if all you do is sit around thinking no one knows who I am. Because when He comes in the room, everybody's on the same level. Because the glory of the Lord is there. And His mercy endures forever. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Thy kingdom come, and Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's the King James version of it. What I want you to do today is think about your life. Think about who you are. And think about what God has promised you.